Hello again. You're listening to Transforming Grace, a weekly broadcast brought to you by the Institute for Biblical Preaching in Canada. My name is Roger Pascoe, and I'm your teacher each week on this program. We're studying the Bible to see what God has to say to us about who He is, who we are, and how we can have a relationship with Him by His grace through faith in Jesus Christ. Today we're turning to chapter 10 of John's Gospel, and we're beginning to look at verses 1 to 9. We've been studying John's Gospel for quite some time now, and we've studied the seven miracles of Jesus that are recorded in John's Gospel. We've studied the seven conversations or dialogues that Jesus had with other people that are recorded in John's Gospel, and now we're studying Jesus' seven I Am statements. We've already looked at I Am the Bread of Life and I Am the Light of the World, and today we come to I Am the Door. So before we begin, let's pray together. Lord, we thank You for another day and for another broadcast. We thank You for Your Word that we can study together. And I pray that each one who's listening to my voice today will be blessed as we look into this wonderful passage where Jesus teaches us that He is the true shepherd of those who follow Him, of His sheep. And we pray that You will use this Bible study today for our good and our blessing. In Jesus' name, amen. Chapter 10 of John's Gospel is a continuation of Jesus' discourse or conversation from chapter 9, where He was speaking with the hostile Pharisees. You'll remember in chapter 9, Jesus had given sight to the blind man, the man who was born blind. And that led to a hostile reaction, an angry reaction from the Pharisees, not only to the man who was healed, whom they excommunicated, but also to Jesus as well. These angry Pharisees represent false religious leaders who thought they had spiritual sight, spiritual life, but they didn't. Listen to what it says in chapter 9, verses 40 and 41. Then some of the Pharisees who were with Him, that is with Jesus, heard these words and said to Him, "Are we blind also?" By that they mean spiritually blind. And Jesus said to them, "If you were blind, you would have no sin. But now you say, 'We see,' therefore your sin remains." In other words, they couldn't claim ignorance. And because they were religious leaders and claimed to have certain spiritual and religious knowledge, they were responsible for the knowledge they had. But unlike the blind man, who readily acknowledged who Jesus was and became His disciple, followed Jesus, these Pharisees rejected Him, and so they were guilty. Now, in this passage before us in chapter 10, the connection then with the previous passage is closer than you might think at first reading. Here we find Jesus, the Good Shepherd, had already sought and found the blind man in the previous chapter. The healed blind man is a sheep who has heard the shepherd's voice. The Pharisees, on the other hand, are the thieves and robbers and strangers. You'll find that in verse 21 of chapter 10, the healing of the blind man is referred to there again. So it all connects together right through chapter 9 into chapter 10. There's no indication in the first verse of chapter 10 of any new time frame, in other words, that time had passed by or there was an interval of space of time between chapter 10 and chapter 9. It would indicate, it would seem at least, that chapter 10 flows right on from chapter 9. And truly, truly, as it is introduced there in verse 1, or assuredly, indicates a conclusion that is drawn from what went before. So that's just setting the context. It flows right on from what is recorded of the healing of the blind man in chapter 9. And really the point that Jesus is going to make is that the religious leaders, the Pharisees, who rejected him and rejected the blind man that he had healed, are representative of false shepherds, false leaders, false religious leaders, whereas he is the true shepherd, the good shepherd. Jesus' teaching here is in the form of an allegory. Now, you'll remember that I explained before that these I am statements of Jesus are metaphors. Now, in case you don't remember my explanation of a metaphor that I gave you before, let me just explain again that a metaphor is a word or phrase that is used to describe something else. It's symbolic, it's representative, if you will. Let me give you an example of a metaphor. We sometimes speak of Jesus' crucifixion on the cross and refer to the foot of the cross. That, for example, a sinner comes to the foot of the cross to confess his or her sins. Well, the cross has no foot. We're not referring to a human being's foot or an animal's foot. There is no such thing as the foot of a cross. But what we mean by that is that they come to the bottom of the cross, where the cross meets the ground, and take their place there beneath the crucified Lord. That is a metaphor, the foot of the cross. Another metaphor, just in ordinary English speaking, might be we might refer to the sea, the ocean, was glass. Well, we don't mean that it was literally a piece of glass like in the window of our house. What we mean is that the ocean was so smooth and calm and shiny that it looked like a piece of glass. That's what a metaphor is. It is like a simile, except it doesn't use the words like or as. Now, in this passage that we're going to study, not only is the phrase, I am the door, a metaphor, but the whole passage is an extended metaphor, or what we sometimes call an allegory. That's what an extended metaphor is. It's an allegory. Because it's an allegory, we must focus on the main point. We don't try to attach spiritual meaning to all of the small details. The main point here is the unfitness of the Pharisees to be the religious leaders, their unfitness to be the religious teachers of God's people. They don't bear any resemblance to true shepherds of God's people. And in this allegory, this extended metaphor, Jesus is going to speak about them in terms of them being thieves and robbers who get into the sheepfold by illegal means, climbing up over the wall or whatever it is, as opposed to the good shepherd or the true shepherd of the sheep, of which Jesus, of course, is the perfect example. Now, we need to understand some things about sheepfolds before we can understand this passage. Sheepfolds were large, open-top enclosures in a big open field. They were usually made of rough stones and had a sturdy door. And each sheepfold contained several flocks of sheep overnight. That's where they went during the night. And for safety, they were guarded by a doorkeeper or a night watchman. And so the shepherd, you see, would take several flocks of sheep, herd them into this sheepfold, this enclosure, probably enclosed with a rough stone wall and shut in by a strong door. That's where he would put them for the night, and a doorkeeper would watch over their safety at the door. In the morning, the shepherds would come to the sheepfold and call their sheep, and in this way, they separated each flock from the other, because their sheep would follow the shepherd whose voice they knew and recognized. And so our subject then today, in John chapter 10, is how can we tell a true religious leader from a false religious leader? And this passage teaches us, firstly, that false religious leaders are intruders among God's people, but true religious leaders are shepherds of God's people. Secondly, this passage teaches us that false religious leaders gain access to God's people by illegitimate means, illegal means. But true religious leaders come to God's people through Christ, the door. And thirdly, this passage teaches us that false religious leaders desire to separate people from Christ, but true religious leaders desire to bring people to Christ. So there's a lot here for us to learn about false religious leaders in contrast to true religious leaders. And of course, Jesus is the ultimate example of the true leader that we are to follow. He is the true shepherd. And in the case of these first few verses, we're going to find out that he is, in fact, the door of the sheepfold. First, then, we're going to notice that false religious leaders are intruders. Now, let's look at the passage. Take your Bibles, if you have one close by. Turn to John chapter 10, and let's read the first 6 verses together. John chapter 10, verse 1. Most assuredly, or truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice. And he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he brings out his own sheep, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. Yet they will by no means follow a stranger, but will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. Jesus used this illustration, or what earlier I referred to as an allegory, an extended metaphor. Jesus used this illustration, but they did not understand the things which he spoke to them. All right, then. The first thing we're going to notice is that false religious leaders are intruders, in verse 1. Anyone who does not enter a building by the door is an intruder. Jesus says, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs up some other way, the same as a thief and a robber. There are two kinds of intruders, then, that Jesus refers to in this illustration. Thieves and robbers. Thieves steal other people's property. And robbers are thieves who use violence to achieve their goals. See, it's one thing to steal something from somebody else. It's another thing to hurt them and to destroy their property in order to steal from someone else. It doesn't make the stealing any better, but that person, in addition to being a thief, is also a violent person. Neither a thief nor a robber would use the door to enter the sheepfold because it was locked and guarded by a doorkeeper, by a watchman. Therefore, they used forced entry to get what they wanted. They avoid using the door. And, of course, the door, in this illustration, speaks of Jesus. That's what a metaphor is, where one idea is used to describe another. And Jesus uses the door here to describe himself. He says that in verse 7. He says, most assuredly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. Now, we haven't got to that verse yet, but that gives you the clue, the key to understanding this passage. They avoid using the door, you see, these thieves and robbers, because they don't believe in Jesus. In other words, they don't enter into Jesus' sheepfold. They don't become part of his sheep. They don't become a member of his flock. They don't become a follower or disciple of Jesus because they don't believe in him. They avoid using the door, therefore, because they want to separate the people from Jesus. That's what thieves and robbers do. That's what false leaders do. They don't want Jesus' sheep to follow him. They want to separate his followers from him. And in this case, in the case of the blind man, they had tried to separate the blind man from following Jesus by expelling him from the synagogue, thinking that by doing so they would frighten him into giving up following Jesus. Of course, he didn't do that. Religious deceivers. They're pretending to be people that they are not. They're pretending to be upright, religious, honest, good people, but they are not. The thieves and robbers, then, are the false religious leaders. They enter the ministry without themselves knowing Christ. They're hostile to Jesus. They're angry against, they're rebellious against Jesus. They're imposters who enter among God's people by false, deceptive, secretive means. By some other way, is the way Jesus describes it in verse 1. They come in to the church. They come in amongst God's people by some other way. They don't come in the front door, if you will. They come in by deceptive means. They try to gain access to and control over the fold of the people of God by illegitimate means. And what I mean by illegitimate means is they try to gain access and control over the people of God through things like fear and intimidation. They are in the ministry to exalt themselves, to lift themselves up. They're in religious work to preach a religious system. They're in it to lead men and women to follow them and not Jesus Christ. Now, you don't have to think long to be able to come up with examples of people, perhaps, who fit that description. There are men and women in ministry, preaching in churches every week, who are not believers. They're not Christians. They're not followers of Christ. Well, they are thieves and robbers. They're deceivers. They've come in by some other way, not by way of faith through faith in Christ and being called by Him into ministry. Those who harm God's people need to be rebuked. We need to call them what they are. They're thieves and robbers. They are people who make it look like they're good and proper and upright and honest, but who are not. In fact, they preach a false gospel. False teachers who are an offense to God. They are a plague on the church. They are a trap for Jesus' sheep who are not aware of what's going on around them, who are not on the lookout for traps that may be set by false leaders. We must fearlessly condemn those who try to deceive God's people, those people who are in the ministry for the money, who are in ministry for the power, who are in ministry to exalt themselves and not Jesus Christ. As I said before, many take the position of being ministers and preachers today who don't even know Jesus Christ and don't preach the gospel. They have themselves not entered the door of the sheepfold. They have come in another way, and they're therefore not qualified to be preachers. They're not qualified to show others the way, for they themselves have not come in by the right way. These people are blind leaders of the blind. And the Bible tells us that if a blind person leads another blind person, they both fall into the ditch. So we must test every preacher, every church leader, every religious leader by a specific test. Did he or she come in by the door, or did he climb up some other way? In other words, did he come into the ministry by legitimate and proper means? Is he someone whom the church has tested and whom the church knows? Is he someone who has a testimony and demonstrated in his life that he is truly born again? Is he someone who truly knows Jesus Christ by faith and whom God has gifted and called to be a leader of God's people? False religious leaders are intruders. They're thieves and robbers. But notice this, that true religious leaders are shepherds. What a contrast between these two terms that Jesus uses here. Thieves and robbers, those are people that we all dislike, that we all fear, if you will. None of us wants to be nor to meet a thief or a robber. But shepherds is something else altogether. We are attracted to shepherds because they take care of their sheep. They protect them at night. They feed them during the day. They lead them to green pastures and still waters. And true religious leaders are spoken of in the Bible and here by Jesus as shepherds. He who enters by the door is a shepherd of the sheep, verse 2 says. True shepherds enter by the proper entry, by the door. They don't try to come in by the back door. They don't try to deceive people into thinking that they're someone that they aren't. They enter the ministry through Christ, who is the door. They're in religious leadership, they're in church leadership for one purpose, to shepherd God's people and to glorify Christ, to preach Christ, to lead men and women to Christ. That's why they are in the ministry. Not for any other means whatsoever, not for any other purpose, not for self, not for money, not for glory, not for power or position, but in order to shepherd God's people, leading them to Christ. And so true religious leaders are shepherds of the sheep. They're leaders of those for whom Christ died. They're leaders of those whom he calls to follow him. They are leaders of those who hear Jesus' voice and who follow him and who obtain eternal life. So perhaps we ought to ask ourselves the question, is the pastor or the church leaders whom we are following, have they come in by the front door? Have they come in by the door, or have they climbed up over the wall? Are they intruders? In other words, have they come in amongst the people of God by false pretenses, by false means? Are they trying to make themselves look like someone that they're not, that they're really thieves and robbers, not shepherds? Is that what they are? Or are our church leaders, our pastors, are they true shepherds? Are they men and women who are qualified by faith and by God to be in leadership amongst God's people? And they'll show that by their testimony, whether they have truly received Christ or not. They'll show that by their life, by whether they are following Christ or not, and they'll show it by the way they behave themselves among the people of God. They'll show it by being shepherds of God's people. You can see how the activity of a thief and a robber is entirely different, isn't it, from that of a shepherd. A thief and a robber doesn't care about your feelings, doesn't care about your health, doesn't care about your physical needs or your spiritual needs. A thief and a robber only cares about their own wants, their own needs, their own desires, and they come in order to take away from you, not to give to you. And so a true shepherd is one who comes in amongst the people of God to give to them the truth of God and to care for them in loving and Christ-like ways. And if you're in church leadership in any form, whether it be as a pastor or a church leader, an elder or a deacon, or whether you're a ministry leader in a church or a small group Bible study leader, doesn't matter what your capacity is, if you're a leader in the church, how does this description compare with your life? If someone looked at your life and listened to what you taught and watched your way of life and listened to your speech and how you relate to other people and so forth, would they conclude that you are a shepherd of God's people, or would they conclude that you are a thief and a robber amongst God's people? To be a thief and a robber means that you are coming in for your own self-satisfaction. You've come in either for money or to steal from the people spiritually, in other words, to draw them away from Christ, or some other objective. Whereas a true shepherd has only one objective, to care for the sheep, to bind up their wounds, to heal them, to provide good food and water, spiritually speaking and also physically speaking, and to teach them the truth and to point them towards the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, this is the test. Thieves and robbers or true shepherds? Well, we're going to continue this next week as we work our way through verses 2 through 10. In the meantime, I hope that you will think a little bit more about this and this wonderful illustration that Jesus gives here in this contrast between true religious leaders and false. And so that's all for this week. If you're enjoying this program, please let us know through this radio station. And be sure to invite your friends to listen to the program with you as a group so that you can discuss it together and grow in your Christian lives together. And so, until we're together the next time, may God bless you.